goal. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secureourworld. Then share them with family and friends.
Millions of Americans take medicine like Ozempic and Zepbound. Many of them are overpaying by thousands of dollars a year. These GLP-1 medications for diabetes, weight loss, and more may not always be covered by your insurance, but GoodRx can help. GoodRx helps you save every month on prescriptions at over 70,000 pharmacies nationwide. Best of all, it's free to use. Check GoodRx to save on GLP-1s. Just go to GoodRx.com/GLP. That's GoodRx.com/GLP. GoodRx is not insurance, but can be used instead of insurance, including Medicare and other federal and state-funded programs.
Shopping with your parents can be embarrassing.
Why would they sell jeans with holes in them? I'm going to speak to the manager.
Mom!
That hoodie is giving. You should get it. YOLO.
Thanks to the Chase mobile app, your kid can shop independently while you keep an eye on their spending. So you can go from...
We can be twinsies!
...to...
How was shopping? Saw you stayed on budget.
Thanks, Mom.
Freedom for kids. Control for parents. That's family banking from Chase.
Account subject to approval. Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JP Morgan Chase Bank N.A. Member FDIC.
You're listening to WRDN 1430 AM Durand Mondovi Wabasha and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Trump and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth say Elon Musk was not at the Pentagon to receive a meeting on U.S. war plans in China. Hegseth says Musk was there to discuss military cuts.
There was no war plans. There was no Chinese war plans. There was no secret plans. That's not what we were doing at the Pentagon.
Two U.S. officials confirmed that ABC News reporting last night that Musk was slated to visit the Pentagon and attend an unclassified meeting at the Joint Chiefs of Staff that would touch on China and other topics. A judge holding a hearing today on the deportation flights that transported alleged gang members last weekend. The judge halting those flights, now reviewing whether President Trump's use of the Alien Enemies Act is legal. Pope Francis remains in stable condition, the Vatican says, now hospitalized for 36 days, recovering from pneumonia. Today, a trumpet player delivering an impromptu performance of Ave Maria outside the Pope's hospital window. This is ABC News. At the White House today, President Trump and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth announcing Boeing won the contract over Lockheed Martin for production of a new fighter jet. It will be called the F-47. Both Trump and Hegseth pushing back on a New York Times report that Elon Musk was at the Pentagon today getting a briefing on U.S. war plans against China if there's an event, saying Musk was there for talks on cuts at the Pentagon.
The New York Times reported this last night, and then there were a fury of tweets and denials from the Pentagon from President Trump that he ever was going to be briefed on any top secret plans. But the New York Times is standing by their story. They say that the classified meeting was canceled because of their report.
ABC's Martha Raddatz. Flights at Heathrow Airport in London resuming after a fire nearby today caused a power outage and shut down the airport. Tens of thousands of travelers stranded or diverted to other airports in Europe. The cause still unknown. Michelle Franz and ABC News.
As of 9 a.m. this morning, our EV trucking company is officially in operation.
Andrew's zero-emission trucks are driving the transportation category forward.
We'll make driving safer, easier, and less stressful.
Now our technology needs to keep up with demand.
He needs to put pedal to the metal on hiring more software engineers.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job on Indeed, it's easier for talented candidates to find it, which makes it easier for you to hire them. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. The Wisconsin State Assembly passes Republican-authored bills related to transgender issues. Two bills ban trans athletes at the high school and college level in Wisconsin. Another would require school districts to put policies in place stating that parents determine names and pronouns of students to be used by school staff. A fourth bill would ban gender-affirming care for those under 18. All four bills now head to the state Senate. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says Governor Tony Evers should reconsider his opposition to the bills.
We have seen some brave Democrats across the country realize that their party has veered way too far to the left,
and that if they want to win elections again and they want to be on the side of the public, they've got to change their stance.
Voss says the bills passed by the Assembly reflect the views of a majority of Wisconsinites. Candidates for state superintendent participate in a forum.
The event, held Wednesday evening, featured incumbent Jill Underley and challenger Brittany Kinzer, the only one-on-one matchup with the two. Kinzer, a Milwaukee education consultant, said Wisconsin's education system is failing kids, citing racial gaps and lack of reading proficiency. Underley said that's misleading and noted high graduation rates and Wisconsin schools' high national ranking. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Wisconsin is losing out on millions of dollars of already allocated federal aid because of the recently passed budget extension.
The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reports that $250 million in funding designated for construction projects has been removed from the table. That was part of the continuing resolution passed last week by Republicans and signed by President Trump. The 3rd Congressional District, represented by Republican Derek Van Orden, is losing out on $25 million earmarked for Western Wisconsin. Van Orden voted for the continuing resolution, but says he's disappointed the cuts were made in his district. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Real Country 1430 WRDN reminds you to shop our area businesses in the listening area first. From Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, Ellsworth, Alma, and everywhere in between, find the products and services you need all at affordable prices. You know, these local businesses offer personal service you just don't get at box stores. Shopping locally first not only supports our friends and neighbors, but also supports you. Our local businesses contribute to many school and civic organizations. They provide jobs and they help strengthen our economies. Shop locally first. This reminder from Real Country 1430 WRDN.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Mostly cloudy and breezy today, with those winds shoving us to mild highs in the mid-50s. But as a front pushes through and winds switch to out of the north, it'll spark up some spotty showers this afternoon, which could mix with a few flurries this evening. Then tomorrow, tons of sunshine and cooler highs in the low 40s. Grandpa's barbecue sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 52.
Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And thank you for joining us here for AOA, Agriculture of America, powered by Cenex. We got a lot to get to on today's show. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Cenex Premium Diesel and Premium Lubricants ensure your machinery operates flawlessly, even under the most challenging conditions, with Cenex Maxtron THF Plus Full Synthetic Tractor Hydraulic Fluid. Visit your nearest Cenex location or go to Cenex.com today to learn more about their products that will keep your equipment running in top shape as we enter spring planting season. Coming up on the show today, we're going to have a conversation with Alan Schaefer from the Engine Technology Forum coming up here in segment two. They have a new webinar coming up and more. We're going to catch up on some of the issues from the ETF on the way here in just a little bit. In segment three, after the bottom of the hour, we'll hear my conversation from last week's trip to Washington, D.C. with the Missouri Farm Bureau. I talked with their president, Garrett Hawkins. Covered a lot of ground in that discussion. We'll hear that coming up in a little bit. Then at the end of the show today, we're going to talk about the new Feeding the Economy report. John Bode, president and CEO of the Corn Refiners Association, will join us to discuss that coming up in segment four of today's AOA. But helping us get things started, let's take a look at the February Meat Demand Monitor. Joining us now, Dr. Glenn Tonsor with Kansas State University. Glenn, how are you? It's good to talk with you again.
Oh, doing well. It's good to talk to you as well. And I hope all our listeners are facing a little warmer, nicer spring day.
I sure hope so as well, Glenn. Sure hope so. Let's take a look at the MDM for February. Let's start with the willingness to pay and projected market share prices just to get us rolling. What were some of the big takeaways there this month?
Yeah, so every month, again, on our agmanager.info website here at K-State, we post these base reports. You and I summarize them, most of which were highlighting the most recent month compared to the month before. So as you said, February 25 compared to January 25. I'm going to verbally interject some comparisons to 2024. Just give our listeners that heads up here. February 25, we saw some pullback on retail demand compared to January. But I want to give us a little pause because actually February demand was stronger than February of 2024. in six of the eight categories. So all the regular meat protein categories we track were actually up compared to the prior year. Plant-based patty and bean and rice demand retail channel was lower than the year before. But I want to interject that because I do think there's some signals of some, you know, consumer concerns we're going to talk about at the end. But nonetheless, that strong end of 2024 demand story carried over, and we're still starting the year off better than we were at the same point in 2024. When you look at food service, to round
this out. I know you guys track things. Yeah,
no worries.
Go ahead, Glenn. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was just cutting out a little bit. Is the food service side, we always track the dinner meal as well. And actually, the willingness to pay for a dinner meal away from home was again higher in seven of the eight categories in February compared to January, and was higher than the year before. The only category that was weaker was the plant-based patty meal. You brought up market share. For context, we regularly estimate that the market share is less than 4%, 2 to 4% for that plant-based patty category. So it is quite small in the grand scheme. Most of your listeners will track that from the start, because when this project started back in 2020, there was more interest in tracking that category. But the demand there has definitely been weaker than it has been in the beef, pork, and chicken categories here in February 2025. And that's been the case for several months now.
All right. Well, let's talk about looking at the household finances aspect here. I want to get to this, Glenn. This is something you guys have been tracking now for several months, and it ties in with the demand side here. What are you seeing when you factor in what folks are saying about their household finances and how that's playing into the meat they are potentially consuming at home?
Yeah. And to set the stage for that, you know, there's lots of discussion in the news about general concern about the economy, whether that is slowing GDP growth, concerns about employment, concerns about inflation. A lot of that's tied to tariff uncertainty. I think we're all aware of that. So not surprisingly, there's interest in these general financial sentiment measures. One of them that, as you said, we have tracked throughout this project is actually from the University of Michigan's consumer sentiment process. This goes back to the 1970s. It's been a long time. And what we found in February of 2025 is that 20% told us their household finances are better than a year ago. And that's great, but of course I would love for that to be more than 20%, right? So the remaining 80% are either the same or worse. What's important for the meat sector to appreciate is that if you tell me your finances are improving, you're much more likely to say you had beef, pork, or chicken, it applies in all three meats, yesterday. So we have this pretty in-depth prior day recall, what did you have for breakfast, lunch, and dinner segment to the MDM. And those rates of meat protein inclusion are much higher for those that say their finances are improving. That is not surprising, right? Economists forever say demand for meat goes up when your income's going up. I'm trying to highlight here, it's also related to the sentiment about your finances, because you could actually have a growing wage and be more pessimistic because you're worried about the buying power of your dollars and so forth, right? So we're highlighting this kind of broader context on sentiment. And the other thing we highlighted in this month's report, which may be the narrow reason you bring it up, is I included a figure about price expectations. So what do you expect next month? We also ask this every month, but I don't always put it in the base report. And specific for ribeye steak, ground beef, pork chops, and bacon, we regularly ask folks, what do you expect prices to be next month? Higher, same, or lower? And if you tell me higher, I kind of tease out how much higher. And the rate of price inflation that's expected for beef and pork by consumers is growing. Specifically, their expectations here in February were higher than when I asked them the same thing back in February 24 and February 2023. I'm infusing that in our discussion today, Jesse, because there's some growing concerns that the public might be anticipating inflation. And that's usually kind of the canary in the coal mine, so to speak, that we're on the front end of inflation, because it can become self-fulfilling if we all expect that we start front-loading and buying to get ahead of it, and that itself pushes prices up. I think that's pretty important for us to watch here as 25 develops.
That's a great point. Glenn, final thoughts, final takeaways you would have from the February meat demand monitor data?
It's important to be clear that domestic meat demand is better than it was a year ago, but it's also important to be clear that the uncertainty around that is probably a lot higher than it was a year ago. And only a geek like me can say both, but I want to be clear on that is, at the moment, there's a good footing, but there's a lot of caution building around us. And hopefully our, you know, industry participants that will listen to this recognize that and don't forget to monitor demand. because all the dollars in the industry start with consumer willingness to buy these meat products. And it's good, but highly uncertain at the moment.
Glenn, if folks want to take a look at the meat demand monitor, all the historical data and more, I know they could find it easily online. Where can folks get more information?
Yeah, this entire project's funded by the Beef and Pork Checkoff based at Kansas State University. And everything we've referenced and all the behind-the-scenes details are fully available on the agmanager.info website. And if you have any trouble finding that, feel free to shoot me an email. Just Google my name, and I'm happy to connect you.
Agmanager.info for more. Dr. Glenn Tonsor, Kansas State University, thanks for joining us on AOA. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks when we have the updated March data for the MDM. Thanks, Glenn. AOA brought to you by Cenex and the Farmer Unpredictability's Inevitable. Protect equipment with Cenex Premium Diesel. Keep you in the field. Up next, Alan Schaefer at the Engine Technology Forum on AOA.
Maybe it was a family vacation or a school field trip. But there you were, standing in awe at a national park. We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Today, tomorrow, forever. Donate at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Most folks just stick with the diesel engine oil they know, because why sweat the details? But you don't. You're one of those who'd make the switch, and we're talking to you. Cenex Maxtron synthetic diesel engine oils give you the smartest oil for the toughest conditions. While the others experience wear and tear, you give complacency a kick in the pants. Cenex Maxtron diesel engine oils. Oil that runs smart.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
It got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
At Advent Health, we believe wholeness isn't any one field. It's all of them. Laughter to tears and everything in between. So let your hearts overflow. Let your spirits dare to hope. And let the sun shine through. May you always live in wonder, wondering at this life. And never, ever stop reaching for what makes you feel whole. Learn more at adventhealth.com/human spirit.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And today's AOA, powered by Cenex Premium Diesel, the right choice for your operation year-round. Learn more about Cenex Premium Diesel Fuels by visiting Cenex.com. Joining us now, let's have a technology forum. Alan, it is great to connect with you again. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Jesse. Thanks for having us back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know there is plenty going on that the Engine Technology Forum is paying attention to on a policy front and much more. But I do want to start and highlight a webinar that is coming up here on Monday, April 7th, and it is looking at the remanufacturing of engines and components. And this sounds very interesting and very informational. So give us some details on this webinar and why folks should take part.
Sure. So most folks are familiar, I think, with remanufacturing, perhaps. But this is a practice that's been going on with the heavy-duty industry, particularly for decades, honestly, maybe even half a century or more. And it was founded really with the idea that, you know, we should not waste valuable resources. And so what remanufacturing is today is a critical part of the circular economy and the sustainability practices for many of the equipment and engine manufacturers. And at its most primary level, remanufacturing is taking something older that may be worn and repairing, rebuilding it back to a near new or better kind of condition. And so the classic example in our sector is the heavy-duty engines. Diesel engines, you know, are made to last for a long time. They're very robust. They're designed to be rebuilt and remanufactured. So when the time comes that performance is slacking off, fuel consumption's building up, might have some maintenance issues, getting a remanufactured engine is really a viable option. And for many folks, the manufacturers are ready to provide them with the matching engine that's been remanufactured back to the exacting standards of the one that they're taking out. And so it's a very sophisticated process. The engine cores are recovered and disassembled, and everything is tested and cleaned thoroughly, and the replacement parts, the wear components are put back in, the new components are put back in, and it's all put back together and tested and warranted by the manufacturer. So for users, it's another great option, way to extend the life of your machine or equipment. If the engine has gone bad, that doesn't mean you have to throw away the whole machine. You can get a remanufactured engine and be back on your way.
Well, and it looks like as well, Alan, you guys have a pretty great lineup of speakers who can talk about all of this and the remanufacturing potential out there. Companies like Caterpillar, John Deere, Cummins, etc. Talk about some of the guests that are going to be on this webinar.
Yeah, well, we're delighted to have Jeff Sutherland from Caterpillar, and he heads up their remanufacturing business. And Caterpillar's been in the reman world for a long time. It's a key part of their activities. Patricia Covington, who is the business manager for Cummins, their recon unit, and she is going to give us an overview of not only their engine work, but also their remanufacturing of components. We've got Kevin Schrag from Deere, and he likewise heads up Deere's remanufacturing group there. We've also got interesting component pieces to this. Stanadyne, you might know, is a leading supplier of fuel injection components and other technologies. They also happen to rebuild fuel injector systems. And so Srinu Gunturu, who is their chief engineer there, is going to share the insights on how they approach remanufacturing. And then last, we've got, you know, all these emissions control systems in place now, and catalytic converters and oxidation catalysts, et cetera, that we rely on to keep our emissions near zero. And Johnson Matthey, Louise Arnold, is going to be with us to share insights about Johnson Matthey's work on the circular economy and how much that they recycle platinum group materials. And platinum, of course, is the key metal that's used in catalysts and emissions control systems. And a little fun fact there, I think 70% of every catalyst that's out there today on the road has some remanufactured, recovered platinum content in it. So it comes full circle, as we like to say. And so we've got a great lineup to cover the heavy-duty engine side, and we're going to get into some of these more specialized components as well.
I know that registration is required, emissions free, but folks need to register before the webinar on Monday, April 7th. Where can folks do that and get more information about the webinar, Alan?
Sure. Just visit our website at www.enginetechforum.org, and you'll find a registration sign up button right on there. Just click on that and we'll get you a seat reserved, and look forward to having you with us.
We're talking with Alan Schaefer, the executive director of the Engine Technology Forum here on AOA. Alan, a couple minutes here yet. I should ask, no shortage of policy items that are being watched closely by folks in agriculture and throughout your industry as well here, and regarding emissions and so much more. Some of this deregulation by the Environmental Protection Agency that's being talked about, et cetera. I guess 1,000-foot view this for us, Alan. What are some of the key policy items that you guys are watching right now at Engine Technology Forum?
Sure. Well, there's a lot of balls in the air, as you've pointed out. I will focus on one, I think, which is of particular interest to the audience here, and that is how we get a more growth-oriented renewable fuels policy in the U.S. And there's a somewhat exciting coalition coming together representing all kinds of liquid fuels groups, the petroleum industry, renewable fuel sector, many participants there from both the ethanol side, the biodiesel side, everybody kind of coming together to help petition, go after EPA to come up with some very growth-oriented volumes and policy that really move that industry forward. And renewable fuels are such an important part of our American energy dominance capabilities here, and that the Trump administration is touting every day. And so in addition to our vast petroleum reserves, we think it's really important that we have a robust renewable fuels policy. And that's something we haven't had in the last 4 years. It's been the industry has sort of suffered through being minimized in favor of pushes toward electrification. Well, those days are over, and now there's a more holistic view, I think, about fuels and technology. So the fact that we have a broad coalition of industry groups, fuels producers coming together to work towards EPA, saying, here's what we think is the right policy and volumes for the future for renewable fuels, is key. I mean, we haven't seen that before. I mean, sometimes, and I'm not giving anything away here, but sometimes, you know, the oil industry and the renewable fuel sector haven't always gotten along real well. But I feel like now we've sort of got a common goal, common objective in sight, and really hope for big things to come out of that in the coming months as EPA wrestles with this this rulemaking that they'll come out with, hopefully before the end of the year.
Well, final thoughts here, Alan. We got about a minute. I mean, to your point, there's so many balls in the air right now, folks. I mean, what do folks need to keep in mind as we watch this regulation and this policy unfold moving forward?
Sure. And I think that, you know, there's lots of things sort of breaking in the news every day. Many of these issues that you're hearing about will take longer to resolve in terms of getting a final legally enforceable rule in place or a change. What you're hearing in the news is often the start of something that we are beginning today to make this big major change, but it's going to take many steps after that. And, you know, another example that we're watching very carefully is the Clean Fuel Tax Credit that has otherwise known as 45Z. This is the tax policy that supports the renewable fuel sector, and it's changed from what was a blender's tax credit in previous years to this broader new approach to tax policy. So that's one to watch as well. But, you know, just I would say just hang on and keep listening to places where you get great information here, like on AOA, and visit our website. We'll try and keep folks up to date there.
That website, enginetechforum.org, enginetechforum.org. Technology Forum, always great to hear from you, Alan. Have an awesome rest of the day, and we will talk to you again real soon. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jesse. You too.
Alan Schaefer with the Engine Technology Forum here on AOA, powered by Cenex. As a farmer, unpredictability is inevitable. Protect equipment with Cenex Premium Diesel to keep you in the field. Visit Cenex.com today for more information. Up next, we'll hear from Garrett Hawkins, the president of the Missouri Farm Bureau, here on AOA.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
You're listening to AO. Looking for outdoor power equipment for your lawn and garden projects? Anibis Silo is your home for Husqvarna and Toro lawn and garden equipment. Anibis Silo has the right equipment solution for you to tackle any job. Need a piece of equipment repaired? Anibis Silo also now has small engine service and repair. The service staff can repair all makes and models of
WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins at the Mercantile Exchange. April milk down 3 to 1690. May up 2 to 1720. June down 5 to 1722. July down 1 at 1786. Meanwhile, live and feeder cattle markets mostly lower on the day. Big bout of profit-taking, and really the cash markets didn't end up developing, and that helped to really pressure the markets on a lot of profit-taking after recent gains. Meanwhile, hog markets, they were mostly higher on the day. After a challenging week, there was some higher cash markets, and that helped to support prices. April live cattle down $1.52 to $206.95. March feeder cattle down $1.87 to $286.47. while April hogs up 57 cents to 86.12. Meanwhile, at the Chicago Board of Trade, corn and soybeans mostly lower on the day. Really a lack of any type of fresh fundamental news, and the market really couldn't get past through some of the resistance levels, and that really pressured corn and beans, along with that South American harvest as well. Now, wheat markets, though, they were higher due to a strong rebound in the dollar. New crop corn down 2 to 4.51. New crop beans down 2.5 to 10.07 and 3 quarters. May wheat up 1 to 5.58 and a quarter. I'm Brian Winnikins.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Your Auto Owners agent serving the Durand area is Jerry Thompson Insurance, a division of Ansay & Associates.
Healthcare your way. I'm nurse practitioner Nikki Gillis from Provisions Health of Durand. At Provisions Health, we provide convenient, affordable, and personalized healthcare services to individuals, families, and businesses in and around our community. From in-person or telehealth, simple acute care visits, DOT, and workplace physicals, and affordable lab testing services without a doctor's order, health and wellness is our priority. Visit Provisions Health, 309 3rd Avenue West, Durand, or online at provisions.health.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And today's AOA brought to you by Cenex. No matter what conditions you face, Cenex has the heavy-duty diesel engine oils to meet your needs. Visit Cenex.com today for more information. Well, as I spent time on Capitol Hill with the folks at the Missouri Farm Bureau, tax policy, farm bill, and more, some of the key priorities they were talking about with legislators and policy stakeholders and more during their D.C. fly-in the week of March 11th through the 14th. I was able to sit down with Missouri Farm Bureau President Garrett Hawkins to talk about some of those key priorities for his members. Let's take a listen to that conversation right now on AOA.
What are some of the key priorities you've been talking about with legislators here on the Hill this week? I know there's a long list of them. You had many meetings from Capitol Hill to the White House staff as well. So what are some of the things you guys were talking about this week?
Well, I mean, clearly tax policy is front and center. The end of this year will be the expiration of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act that passed in 2017. There are key provisions in that law that need to be extended. And so that is front and center. That plays into all of the budget discussions that are happening on Capitol Hill and clearly is a priority for President Trump. So we want folks to know that agriculture needs and deserves a seat at the table by the nature of the of who we represent, and common sense tax policy. Certainty when it comes to tax policy is critical as we think about just how we manage our farms. The other piece, when you think about the farm at home, it's clearly the economy that we face. You know, it's a tough time for almost all segments of agriculture. Now, I'm a cow-calf producer, and I'm enjoying where we're at right now, but that doesn't mean that our inputs are affordable or anything. So as you think about it, we have seen the last 2 years steep declines in net farm income, but inputs haven't gone down. Everything that we touch is higher. So we're getting squeezed. You know, we are pleased to hear USDA and their commitment to getting out the ag disaster and economic assistance that was approved in December by Congress. You know, we should note, you know, even before he was sworn in, President Trump and Vice President Vance weighed in on this matter to make sure that farm and ranch families were taken care of as a part of that spending or that short-term spending package. So now, as USDA looks to implement those programs, that's going to be critical. But here's the deal. Like you heard from the farm economists yesterday when we talked to Dr. John Newton, ad hoc assistance doesn't cut it. It may help, but it is no substitute for a long-term farm bill that we're now 2 years overdue. You know, as our members have conversations with our members of Congress, it's really easy to remind folks that since the farm bill passed and was implemented in 2018, the world has changed. We have went through a global pandemic. We saw supply chains completely upended in large part. And clearly, this rapid rise in inflation that has crushed every American and every family also crushed us in agriculture as price takers, not price makers. So the farm bill is in desperate need of updating, and that needs to get done. And we're hoping that while the agenda is full this year for Congress, we're hoping and advocating for whatever window of opportunity is presented, go and get a new farm bill in place.
And I talked with Senator Bozeman this week, and he indicated that it is a top priority. But to your point, there is a lot on the agenda. There are some things that have to get through first, tax policy, et cetera, before we can look at a farm bill. But he indicated optimism with the four corners of the Ag Committee, with the new ranking members, et cetera, that they think they can get this across the finish line later this year. Are you hearing the same thing?
I'm hearing the same thing. You know, again, I think folks want to be as optimistic as possible, recognizing that they're... The rural economy has been hurting, and that something needs to be done to try to lift up our farm and ranch families. You know, the other piece of this is getting back to common sense energy policy, and clearly energy is fundamental, underpins everything that we do in the U.S. economy, including in agriculture. So seeing that this president from day one is focused on getting our nation back to the fundamentals of producing energy and taking an all of above approach to energy in this country is a good thing. So as you have affordable, reliable energy, that also makes a difference for what we do in production agriculture.
Well, and you bring up energy, and I think that could help us segue to a couple other topics. Let's talk tariffs and trade, a lot surrounding energy there, inputs, obviously. And I've said this a couple of times here the last couple of weeks, that the tariff situation is fluid. That's the best way I could describe it, Garrett. And I've heard from both sides, producers who are very concerned, producers who are taking the wait-and-see approach. What are your thoughts on the whole tariff situation? Because as we know and we've alluded to, it can add into the uncertainty and this cost price squeeze that we have in rural America right now.
I think you summed it up well with the word fluid. It is fluid. Every farmer or rancher I visit with understands that this president has a long-term vision for what he sees for resiliency and an American first agenda. And during the first Trump administration, we saw the use of tariffs as the blunt force hammer to bring countries to the table. That also represented or resulted in a significant update in the form of our trade relations with Mexico and Canada, our top two trading partners. So as the president really sets forth a bold agenda to foster manufacturing and making things in this country, you see him using tariffs to bring people to the table, not just for that, but even more important, he is focused on border security and stemming the tide of fentanyl and its flow into this country because of the impact it has on so many families. So in agriculture, we recognize that we must have a secure border. We must address crime and drugs and the human trafficking that has occurred because of a porous border. So we understand what the president has in mind, but also recognize that the farm economy is in a different place than it was during the first Trump administration when tariffs were put in place. Here's where I like to remind folks, Jesse, that while tariffs make the news cycle, what isn't being discussed are all of the unfair trade practices that this administration is going to focus on in order to level the playing field for America's farmers and ranchers. You know, as I meet with officials from the U.S. Trade Representative's office, they have undertaken a robust short window, but robust nonetheless, of getting input from the public about all of the trade practices that are limiting or sometimes stopping the flow of our farm and ag products into other countries. You take the EU, for instance. We import twice as much ag and food product from the EU as they take from us. Why is that? It's not because of tariffs. It's because of all these sanitary and phytosanitary trade barriers that they put in place. And then most recently, we've seen them use their deforestation regulation. While it's been delayed a year, that ultimately is going to hit beef, timber, soy, other areas of U.S. agriculture, and it's just another trade barrier. So what excites me is we saw during the first Trump administration that this president was serious about addressing unfair trade practices by China that resulted in the Phase One agreement. Now this administration's got to pick back up, figure out what was missed, where China isn't following through, and then pick up from there. And hopefully what we're going to see as well is this administration diversify the market portfolio. Look at other Southeast nations. We see tremendous opportunity, for instance, in Indonesia. Population of 200 million that's growing, and they need protein. But guess what? There are all these unfair trade barriers put in place by their government that keep our stuff out or make it not competitive. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited. I think, yes, tariffs, while it's fluid, we see it almost changes on a daily basis. It's hard to talk and report about it because you see changes all the time. But let's keep the big picture in mind that this president wants to level the playing field around the world for what we produce, as well as create opportunities to reshore critical industry here in the country that's going to generate job opportunities.
I want to ask you about a state-level issue in Missouri. It was brought up by Senator Hawley when he spoke to the delegation, and it was met with many groans. It's the Grain Belt Express. We've talked about that on the show. Give us an update on where all that stands.
Well, you know, The issue continues to be out there because one of the latest conversations has been around the Grain Belt Express and its securing during the previous administration about a $4 billion loan to help move forward with the project. And it appears as though that may be looked at by the new administration. Certainly Attorney General Bailey has been very public in saying that DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, should look at this loan and cancel it based on this project. So, you know, Jesse, it continues to boil down to that our members have a fundamental problem with the use of eminent domain. That eminent domain was granted to a private for-profit entity in which they can condemn and take farmland for their own use and for their own profit. That is at the crux of this issue. And the other piece of this is the fact that it's being used to help fulfill the green energy dreams of those on the East Coast. And they don't have any regard for farmers and landowners who bear the brunt of hosting this infrastructure, not just for their lives, but for their kids' lives as well. So, again, I think with this administration, we're going to get back to a truly robust discussion about what does energy security look like for this country, and hopefully more scrutiny of the past 4 years and where energy policy was, particularly that led to and helped foster some of these projects. Now, Grain Belt goes back 10 years. Little did we know that that was the precursor to the Green New Deal, though. But here we are.
Once again, Garrett Hawkins, president of the Missouri Farm Bureau, talking with him during their D.C. fly-in. AOA Today, powered by Cenex. Up next, John Bode with the Corn Refiners Association joins us right after this.
Think back to the last...
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Turn your book idea into publishing gold.
800-215-6818. 800-215-6818. That's 800-215-6818.
Something amazing is happening. Technology is working harder, faster, and more reliably. It's delivering results that work. But who makes technology work? CDW. We're a full-service technology solutions provider, advising our clients and designing customized solutions so they can reach their goals and do amazing things. CDW. Make amazing happen. Find out more at cdw.com.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-296-1251. 800-296-1251. That's 800-296-1251.
Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, and e-auto pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Things are just better when you switch to Cricket. The sun shines a little brighter. Happy music starts randomly playing. Best of all, you can get iPhone 13 for just $29.99. With the ultra-bright Super Retina display and up to 19 hours of video playback, all on Cricket's super-fast 5G network. See? Isn't that better? Smile. You're on Cricket.
Requires new account and ported on $60 plan. First service charge taxed with sale. $25 activation fee. Terms and restrictions apply. Cricket 5G is not available everywhere. See store for details.
Solutions as we learn more about Infinity, their brand new biological product. Ron, tell us again just some of the benefits of Infinity for producers.
The compatibility, I think, is a big deal. Being able to fit this into your existing farming practices is going to make this product easy to use for you. And then also just, you know, whether you're looking to improve your nitrogen efficiency in the situation you're already in, whether you're on that journey and looking for that next thing to fit in there, we might have folks that are looking to go from, like I said, maybe 1.1 down to one unit of nitrogen per bushel. I think that those three modes of action are going to help give growers the opportunity to manage that nitrogen component of their crop system with an additional tool that they didn't have before.
Thanks, Ron. Infinity is available for the 2025 growing season. Learn more online at lovelandproducts.com/nitrogen naturally.
Working the land is by nature a dirty job. What fuels me to get it done? The generations of farmers who've worked the soil before me. What fuels my equipment? Senex Ruby Fieldmaster, a premium diesel fuel with an additive package that's 40% more effective at breaking down engine deposits. The cleanest fuel yet for the dirtiest of jobs. Senex Ruby Fieldmaster, fueled by innovation, powered to perform.
Agriculture is a busy job, and it requires you to constantly be on the go. That's why Farm and Ranch Media and our brands, American Ag Network, AOA, and Market Talk, are here to provide you with the latest news and information that impacts your operation. We'll keep you up to date with the latest market information, ag news, weather, and more from here at home and around the world. Thanks for listening, and stay farm informed with Farm and Ranch Media.
Your car has the power to help save lives. An unwanted or unused car in almost any condition. Discover how donating your car can make a lasting impact in the fight against breast cancer. Can there be a world where breast cancer is a thing of the past? That world may be within reach, and your car donation can help us get there. Simply call 1-800-778-4167. Your donation will support Susan G. Komen's vital work in research, care, community, and action. Your contribution fuels groundbreaking research, supports patients and their families, and raises awareness about prevention and early detection. Donating your unwanted or unused car is simple and fast. We take care of everything, including a free pickup and all the paperwork at your convenience. Call 1-800-778-4167. And the best part? Your donation qualifies for a tax deduction. Remember, your car donation has the power to transform lives, providing hope and healing to those affected by this devastating disease. So why wait? Call 1-800-778-4167. Help accelerate the cure for breast cancer. Your wheels, their hope.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Welcome back to AOA, brought to you by Senex. Unpredictability is inevitable. Protect your equipment with Senex Premium Diesel to keep you in the field. Visit Senex.com for more. Well, during National Agriculture Week, the new 9th annual Feeding the Economy report was released. Joining us now to tell us more about the results of the report, he's the president and CEO of the Corn Refiners Association, John Bode. John, it's good to hear from you again. It has been too long. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Jesse. How about you?
You know, I am doing fantastic. It's been a very busy several months, I would say, for agriculture. And it's good to get you back on the program and talk about this report. Give us, just for starters, the Feeding the Economy report. I mentioned this is the 9th annual. This is something that I know you and CRA has been involved with really since the beginning. Give us some of the background basis on what is the Feeding the Economy report.
Yes, sir. Jesse, you know, we helped organize it in the beginning and continue to, because we think it's so important that the agriculture community work together. And in this year, we had over 30 food and agriculture trade associations sponsor the report. And it tells the story of how agriculture and related industries are important to the U.S. economy.
Well, as we take a look at the results for this year, what were some of the big takeaways as you look deeper into the numbers, John?
You bet. Well, agriculture and related industries continues to be tremendously important to the U.S. economy. $9.5 trillion of output. That's a lot of money. And it is, the other thing is that this output has increased 25% since the pandemic. That's big. But interestingly, agriculture's output declined $100 billion since last year. And the rest of the economy grew. So since last year, U.S. agriculture contribution to the U.S. economy declined from 20% to 18.7%. So agriculture is still really important. But we're experiencing some serious headwinds more than the rest of the economy. And as I'm sure you feel it, you hear it, Jesse, I think agriculture, we're strong, but we're hurting.
You bring up a great point. We're strong, but we're hurting in many ways. And obviously, I think we started to see some of that in 2024. And obviously, we're worried about it moving into this year. I mean, continue on with your thought. I mean, what is your perspective on how this report ties into where things stand in the current ag economy state right now?
Yeah. So first of all, I think there's a little more in the report that warrants mention, especially about jobs and all. So 15% of all jobs in America are agriculture related. That's a million jobs more than since the pandemic. Most of those million jobs are in retailing. So think about food retailing, restaurants. But wages have lagged behind inflation. And the other thing is agriculture manufacturing jobs is really big in our economy. We have 2.28 million jobs in agriculture manufacturing. That is four times as many job Americans working in agriculture manufacturing as automobile manufacturing. That's big, but it is down. We've lost 30,000 jobs in agriculture manufacturing since the pandemic. And that's because of the stressors that I think we all see in agriculture. We've got increased input costs, particularly including labor costs. And our markets are not as strong as they need to be. We don't have the market access. And finally, policy uncertainty. I think Fed Chair recently was speaking, and the word uncertainty kept coming up in his comments as a drag on the economy. And policy uncertainty is certainly affecting us. We need a farm bill, but it just starts with the farm bill.
Well, I think, to your point, we look at just the overall impacts that the ag economy has on the overall U.S. economy, despite being down and hurting a bit. But, I mean, you laid a lot of that out. There's so many sectors and subsectors that are displayed in the Feeding the Economy report. It goes to show, and it's a good reminder for folks, that the ag economy itself is a very robust, important piece of the U.S. economy, right, John?
It sure is. And, you know, I think President Trump has talked a lot about how he's using tariffs to create opportunities for better trade deals. I would say that we really need those better trade deals. We need to get to opening some new markets. We've had 4 years where there wasn't even an attempt to open new markets. And it goes on long before that, but since we've had a true market opening trade agreement. So we need some trade deals just completely across the board. Agriculture needs to export about 20% of our production. And if we don't, losing 20% of our market, that would be an unthinkable thing. So we need to open some markets. The rest of the world is leaving us behind.
Final thoughts, anything you would share and reiterate with folks if they're taking a look at the report or just about what's going on in the ag economy in general?
Thanks, Jesse. You know, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. I would encourage people to actually look this up. Go to feedingtheeconomy.com. You will find information, and you can dig deep into that information that is state-specific or congressional district-specific. This is highly credible. This report has been named one of the top economic reports in the world for the last couple of years.
All right, we're out of time. That's John Bode, President and CEO of the Corn Refiners Association. Head to feedingtheeconomy.com to take a look at the full report. Thanks for listening to AOA, powered by Cenex. Have a great rest of your day.
Maybe it was a family vacation or a school field trip. But there you were, standing in awe at a national park.
are the National Park Foundation. And together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Today, tomorrow, forever. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
From grain and livestock market analysis to policy updates affecting agriculture, the latest agricultural weather, ag news headlines, and much more, we have you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. Get up-to-the-minute information with the American Ag Network on air, online, and on demand. Find us on your favorite social media platforms and follow the American Ag Today podcast anywhere you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Hi, I'm Jenny Garth. I've loved and cared for rescue animals since I was a little girl growing up on a farm in Illinois. My pets have always been some of the most important members of my family. My friends at American Humane have been helping animals for over...
Are you concerned about age-related macular degeneration, or AMD? If you're over 50, then you should be. AMD impacts as many as 1 in 10 Americans over 50. Now, protecting your eyes is easier thanks to New Nordics Blueberry Eye Supplements. New Nordics Blueberry Eye Supplements not only protect your eyes, but help improve night vision, as well as helping to relieve eye fatigue caused by digital devices. Enjoy healthy vision with New Nordics Blueberry Eye Supplements. Available now at Amazon.com or NewNordicUSA.com.
Jackson Hewitt wants you to save money on tax prep. We're saving money by having our intern rap in this commercial.
Don't stress. Jackson Hewitt's got expert tax prep, $149 or less. Yo, some tax guys lie about price. What? They got hidden fees. That ain't nice.
Ain't nice.
Don't ignore MC Kevin's rhyme, because this deal's for a limited time. $149.
For tax prep that's $149 or less, hurry into Jackson Hewitt today.
No cap.
Limited time offer for new clients on federal returns. Participating locations only. Terms at jacksonhewitt.com/149.
Locally owned and operated, we are Real Country, 1430 AM Stereo, WRDN, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Ahead of a hearing today on deportations, President Trump continued to criticize the federal judge who ordered a temporary halt to those deportations of alleged gang members last weekend. As the president uses the Alien Enemies Act, ABC's Selena Wang has more.
It was really notable, just to underscore what the president said there in that room to our Karen Travers.